Y'all had that pent up for a couple of months, didn't you?
Hallelujah.
That was a right foot praise right there. God bless you.
God keep you. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
I saw a couple of drops of sweat on the ground.
We need to do that much more often. Hallelujah. Praise confuses the enemy. Doesn't make any sense to praise him in the midst of your troubles, tests, trials, problems, circumstances, lack. But God is still able. He is still good. Hallelujah. He's still good outside of the fire and in the fire. He's still good. I hope you get that revelation right there. God is good out of the fire and when you're in the fire. Amen. I just got a couple of announcements for you, and then I'm going to be on with the service this morning. It is, this month is Pastor's Appreciation Month. I had a great time last night coming in last place. Well, almost last place. We got a chance to go out to Topgolf really, really quickly. And Lady Martin, she fooled me. I thought I was going to come there for one particular. Wait a minute. You see scores? Hold a minute. Hold a minute. Come to the scores. Y'all can't see that. It didn't even work. Story of my life. So they had some good time at that time. And so, yeah, I had like 4 points because I was just playing around. I was just happy to be there and things like that. You know, I wasn't taking it seriously or whatnot, but I don't know how Lady Martin got up there. All this, I guess it's all the lessons that she gets from me. But I had a great and wonderful time on that particular evening. We got a chance to eat some food. We got a chance to fellowship. Just a little intimate setting. And so if you have a spiritual father or even a spiritual mentor, just show them and give them their roses while they're alive. It is not an easy job to pester God's people during this time. It isn't easy, but thanks be to God. I have my church family. I have those of you that are here this morning, as well as those of you that are online. Oh, y'all got some photos right there? All right. All right, even Leilani had more points than me last night. I don't know how that happened, but it happened. I think I had my face full of cheese fries. I think that's what had happened, though. All right. So that's just a little bit of the family there. Once again, I love you. I appreciate you. I appreciate you as the gifts come rolling in, even the words of encouragement. Even if you don't have a dime in your pocket, just your presence means a lot to me. Also, on Wednesday, November the 6th, don't forget we have Bible study, food, and fellowship. For the last couple of months or so, you've been seeing different speakers come through on a regular basis. Come on up here for a second, Mike. Yeah, you. We've been having people come through and teaching on different nights and things of that nature, especially with my job role that has changed, which has provided an opportunity for other people to actually come through. And so at this morning, which is totally unexpected to him, ain't it? He's like, hey, I ain't got no clue. Well, I just wanted to make it unofficially official that my brother Mike has approached me actually several times, but I had to wait until it was ready before I actually gave a public reply on his new journey to become a minister in this ministry. So go ahead and put hey. And so I want to just do something for a moment. And this is not the completion, but this is to anoint you for the journey ahead. That you actually follow through with the entire process. He's going to be trained. I'm going to pour my life out into him. As well, he has stood in for me when we've gone for years without having people to be able to rely on. And he won't be the only one. We got some women of God in this particular place that also need to be released. I need to go ahead and be obedient. Lady Martin, you come on up here as well. And where is Amanda? Come on up here as well. I'm not going to get no whooping by God. I can't do it. In our ministry, we have several different people that have helped me over the years. And so I am releasing Mike in order to begin his journey towards becoming a minister. But these women on the right of me, your left, are being released into their calling in regards to a prophetic gift. All of them have been laboring in these particular things. They've had dreams and visions that have guided me over the last 9 years. And for my wife, even if it was not for her, I would not be saved at all. Amen. She introduced God to me when I was all about wild women and neck bones back in 1998. And she basically said, you got to make a decision. I didn't even know that she wasn't saved herself at that time. But she was like, well, you need to go first. And then things begin to change. And so, Brother Mike, thank you. Come suffer with me. He said, Pastor, I'm ready. I said, you ready? You ready to be an imperfect vessel giving a perfect message? And he said, yes, sir, I sure will. And so I'm just going to publicly declare that he will be our first minister in this ministry to be released. We have an elder. We have a deacon. We have support. Dwan has gotten a little taste of this. He found out a little something as well. But now he is going to be the next one. But for these three women, Lord have mercy, Mary, Martha, and Elizabeth, I ordain you now as a prophetess of this house, Lady Nikitra Martin, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Making the devil mad this morning, I ordain you a prophetess of this house, Amanda Penn, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I ordain you running away, but now it's publicly declared a prophetess in this house, in Jesus' name, Alicia Winsley. Come suffer with me like never before. God has been telling me for about 3 weeks now about you three ladies, and I just had to wait for the right time. I had to wait for the right time. Well, thank you so much. I love you. I love you. Suffering also has blessings with it, too, now. It ain't going to be that bad, I promise. Michael's like, yeah, right. I just got a little taste. I asked, and all hell break loose. But it's going to be all right. If I'm all right, you're going to be all right. Amen. This is what God wants us to do moving forward, to handle the increase. So that was spontaneous, but it is what it is. We're going to have a more formal thing, just as a side note, during our New Year's Eve service. But I just wanted that to be done at this moment in time. We are a ministry that believes in compatibilism. In other words, we believe that both men and women are those that can lead God's people, whether it be speaking, preaching, teaching. It is important that we do not forget those things. It is also a tenet of this ministry in Joel chapter 2:28, where he says that he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and his sons and his daughters shall prophesy. It took a little while. Lady Martin worked on my heart in regards to a couple of those things, because I had a little bit of that religion in me for quite a few years. But then I had to wait until the right time. It's just something that is just so special to me. And so, Lord, we are available to you. This Thursday, October the 31st, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m., we will also be celebrating Hallelujah Night, which will be at Altitudes in Sanford, Florida. The cost is $15 per participant. If you do not have an opportunity to do so, we're asking all members to bring 2 bags of individually wrapped candy by this upcoming Wednesday of this upcoming week. Please see Lady Martin for more information. Also, don't forget that our community outreach is collecting blankets throughout this month and up to through December 4th for our annual holiday blanket giveaway. If you need additional information, please see Sister Latoya Lewis or Sister Akile Hughes. Save the date, Friday, November the 22nd, one of our favorite things. Y'all got the flyer up there? Oh boy, y'all got to fly in. We're going to be juking a little bit. Save the date, Classic Weekend Edition. We got some local artists that's going to be coming through. We're going to be pumping some Kanye West, the save version, up in there. It's going to be a great and wonderful time. We got some people that have already signed on, and we're also working with some long-standing Club Five supporters to assist them as they move forward with the relaunching of 301 Cafe. Amen. So we're going to have Brother Marcus as well as a couple of other artists, Joyette, Melicia Way, and some other people that's going to be coming through. Eddie McGowan, we're going to see him and this, all his 25 of his family. He's got 10 kids, but they all serve in the name of Jesus. That was my personal request, all right? That was my personal request. So come on out on that particular night. We want to provide an alternative. Don't worry, you guys. It's not going to be another church service. We actually juke in Jesus' name up in there, all right? All right. Also, Saturday, November the 23rd, from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m., our community outreach ministry will be serving Thanksgiving dinner at Pathways to Care. Is that right around the corner? That's the one around the corner? Okay. At Pathways to Care. We will need volunteers to help with preparation, so see Sister Latoya Lewis for more information. If you have not been doing much, if you've just been coming to church, you need to go on out there and serve. I will be there as well if I don't have anything else planned. Also, fantasy football has been going on as planned. I had a little bit of a setback, but I think I'm going to be able to make a move and catch up because Patrick Mahomes is out. Because Al has been kind of burning up a little bit. Somebody also has Lamar Jackson on this fantasy football team. Yeah. He's been kind of tearing it up a little bit lately. Some of the other people, y'all, a little bit kind of suspect. So I'm just not going to say much this morning. So we're just having a good time with the men and fellowshipping. We're all checking our statistics. We're going to give out a trophy, hopefully in January, in February timeframe after the Super Bowl. And then finally, Truth Learning Academy. Do we have that video or some photos up of that? All right. So Truth Learning Academy is continuing its enrollment and growth weekly. Make sure that you spread the word to your friends, family, and coworkers. Look at that. God bless the little children. You might as well just loop that right there. And just have in your mind, baby shark, do 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 do, baby shark, do 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 do, mommy shark, do 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 do. So it's just a wonderful and blessed time, and there will be more to come. We started off with a few. See, we got some samples right now. You need to put them in Truth Learning Academy. All right. Amen. I'm a shameless plug. So we started off with our inaugural member, Leilani Penn. She was like the very first one. She would come here in this big old building by herself with that big old book bag just coming on in here. And then after that, we had our second one, Finley. He's famous. Lord have mercy, he's famous. And then after a while, God has just been giving the increase. So make sure that you continue to support it. Even if you don't have little kids of your own, if you know someone that needs a great faith-based institution so they can start off the right path, just point them our way. Space is becoming to be limited for our smallest areas, but we have plenty of room for our VPK program as we go forward. Also, last night, we had a great time with the core meeting. We had a great time at Topgolf. Like I said, I wasn't really trying to play. I just want y'all to just know that. I really wasn't trying to play. I just wanted to, you gonna call me out like that in the middle of church? But anyway, we had a great time. So once again, make sure that you realize that we do have a family room across the hall. It is available just in case the kids get really active and you can still be a part of service. Amen. Amen. At this moment of time, let's go ahead and get a seed in our hand for a time of giving. Giving is once again so important, and we have four ways. We could do it online for those of you that are watching this morning. We also have it by kiosk. Deacon Lewis will be back there, as well as Brother Penn will be back there. We also have the traditional envelopes. If you need those, just hold up your hand and we'll give that. Any amount will be great, but the amount that God has given you the ability to give, make sure that you do that, because we want to end this season strong. We have been advertising regularly on Facebook, and we will continue to advertise throughout this entire region what God is doing. We want to break some records in regards to the saving of souls. And then finally, through Cash App, all right? The Cash App, it doesn't go into my pocket. It goes into the ministry so that we can have businesses. How many employees do we have in TLA now, Lady Mark? Total amount? We have four. We have four total employees. We have five. Look at that. So our church is actually employing people, so this is actually helping them out, all right? All right, so make sure that you understand that and that you know that, all right? Amen. We're doing great things in the community. We have community outreach events that we want to finish strong with. And I also want to juke on New Year's, y'all. I want to say a little thing. I want to encourage people about Jesus. We ain't going to scare folk about watch night with black eyed peas and all the other stuff like that. Slavery is over. Amen. Amen. It's over now. We can go out and ain't nobody going to come and get us. I promise you that. I promise you that. So when with midnight strikes, we want to basically be out there and fellowship with one another and eat and have a really good time. But this takes funding. And so we want to go into the year 2020, which is one of our great years. It'll mean 10 years in ministry for us. We're going to redesign some things. We're going to redesign some of the things in regards to the podium and in the pulpit in order to modernize and update some things. So make sure that you give according to the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We honor you and we bless you. We thank you for your kindness, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you, Lord God, for the visitors that are in the sanctuary this morning, as well as those that are online. Bless them now, Heavenly Father, to have a giving and generous heart, not grudgingly, not by force or by compulsion, Lord God, but really to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed, people of God. Let's take the next few moments to give as our praise team leads in worship.
Come on.
Amen. Amen. Y'all probably wonder what I'm laughing at. I just saw JoJo in a little cart going fast. Oh, Lord. Once again, we'd like to welcome you to Divine True Christian Center, where God wants your dreams and visions realized. Amen. Amen. Don't forget, make sure that you tell someone about the ministry and what we're doing in the community, as well as just let people know that we're here. We're a church that truly loves people, and we try to do the best that we can to follow Christ and truly be genuine Christians. This morning's scripture is going to come from out of Acts chapter 9, verses 17 through 26. Acts chapter 9, verse 17 through 26. And it's in the New King James Version. New King James Version. And it says in verse 17, "And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, places he wasn't supposed to, that he is the Son of God." Something else. Verse 21 says, "Then all who heard were amazed and said, 'Is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them to bound to the chief priests to kill them once again?' But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Now after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down through the wall in a large basket. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. But watch this, very important. But they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was saved." Excuse me, he was a disciple. You know where I'm going with this. And the title of this morning's message is, "Let's Go for a Ride." Let's go for a ride. Subtitle, "With a New Convertible." You'll get it in just a moment. When Paul was saved and transformed by Jesus Christ, it surprised those that knew him and took the region by storm, because he was essentially a theological celebrity who had the mind of a professor, the courage of a lion, and an unrelenting zeal for what he believed in. He was passionate, you all. This rare mix of talent and gifts, however, was once used mightily for evil. So much so that it was wrapped up in religion under the Judaic tenets that were going on at that time. He was religious. He was smart. You could say that he had Jewish apologetics down pat. He had a brilliant mind, and he had passion. A rare mix that really could make an individual stand out like no other. So he did this and used these talents for many years. He used his abilities to persecute those who were Christians. It's like if he were in modern times, you would post up on something online that said that would say something like, you know, "Jesus is my Lord and Savior," and then somebody right up under that will say, "Well, how do you know that?" Someone else could post something and be like, "Well, you know, I'm so glad that I'm saved." And this type of person would put, "Saved from what? Jesus isn't real, and I can prove it to you." He was that type of fellow. He fed Christians to lions. He tore down their faith. He mocked them in the public square. He blasphemed the name of the Lord, and he also presided over the stoning of many disciples, one of which that was the catalyst to him changing was Stephen the martyr, who saw the God of heaven glorified as he began to close his eyes in death. All of these things made his conversion, as a convertible, if you will, so unbelievable. It's because he had a past, a dark one that in our eyes deserves so much judgment on the surface. Everybody knew him. Everybody knew all of the things he had did for years. It was on public display. There were still families that were still walking around that had loved ones that they could no longer hug because of his transgression. My father and my wife were fed to the lions by this man, and now he calls himself a Christian, and now we have to fellowship together? Don't you understand what he did? He has a permanent scarlet letter over his entire life. How could this be such a dark past? However, albeit and notwithstanding, God still chose him to be brought out of that darkness and into the marvelous light. He oftentimes chooses the worst of us and makes us his child. I liken this to a convertible car, like the one that you see on your screen, which at first glance looks like one thing, but then can be another when it's the right type of atmosphere. Baby, let's cruise away from here. Let's go ahead and put that sunroof down, that top down. Leaning with a gangster lean. Woo-woo. Let's go ahead and open ourselves up to experience this change in the atmosphere. And that's exactly what happened to Paul when his heart was opened up by God. So let's take a ride this morning, a nice ride, a pleasant one, through the process of Paul's conversion as an example of what it's like when the worst of us becomes a child of God. The worst. The first thing that you need to know is that we all have a past. Don't you get that? I, among many, just like Paul, can without a doubt tell you that I was a chief sinner. I was good at sin. And even though sometimes I'm ashamed of the things that I did in the past, it is still a reality. That's why I have so much compassion when I see those that are in darkness and when they start to come into God's marvelous light. Another thing that I want to teach you this morning is that while we are all in darkness, there is a road that we begin to travel on. And in this particular case, Paul was traveling on a road called Damascus. Damascus simply means activity. There's nothing more than that. It just means activity, being busy. And in his particular case, he was busy doing the work of the devil. All of us are on the road to Damascus, if you will. And we're either busy for God or busy for the devil. There is no in between. For we cannot serve two masters. We cannot serve God and mammon. We cannot be on the fence. We cannot be lukewarm. God loves us despite us. And he said in the book of Revelation that I'd rather you be hot or cold. I'd rather you be totally against me or totally for me. But don't try to stand in that measly middle. Be one way or the other. Come or don't come. But if you come, understand, like Paul, that you will have to go through a process. Acts chapter 9, verse 1 through 9 says, then Saul, still breathing threats. I'm giving you an example of his past, if you will. It's a lesson here. Then Kanye, still talking about college dropout and cussing and fussing. If I know, that's something different. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogue of Damascus so he can go there. So that if he found any who were of the way, notice that capital word there. It doesn't say Christians in the Old, in the New Testament, before the word Christian began to spread all over the place, they called them the people of the way. What way? That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one can get to God but through him. That type of way. He wanted to murder them. He threatened them. He wanted to feed them to lions. He wanted to destroy them. So that if he found, as verse 2 says, any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound in chains to Jerusalem. All because they followed Jesus. That was his past. And like many of you, who have had friends and relatives that saw you as Junebug out in the streets, saw you as Sister Watermelon Head that was cussing, fussing, and fighting and dropping like it's hot in the middle of the club, and now all of a sudden, you get saved. Most of the time, they don't remember that you don't want to be out there anymore. They just remember when you were out there. So we all have a past. I know I do. You need to come and sit with me, and I'll tell you all about it. It's a dark past. So like him, there had to be a change that needed to take place. And for that change to take place, there has to be an encounter with God. Did you know that you cannot force anybody to be saved? Did you know that? Did you know that you can't force someone to come to church? You can't force someone to love Jesus? You can't even, you can feed and clothe the naked, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the widows, the jailhouses, and the prisons for years and years and years, and you can see people who are not into God witness all of that, and that still won't move them because they have to have an encounter with the Lord for themselves. My mom used to play all types of gospel music. Lee Williams, the Quartets, the Caravans, all in the 80s, driving around in the car. And I would hear these songs and I would memorize them because she would play them over and over and over again. Commissioned, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know thus saith the Lord. I used to hear it over and over and over again and not realizing that when I turned 26, it would be that same song that would catapult me from out of darkness into his marvelous light. I was on the stage singing that particular song, and I wasn't even saved at that time. Matter of fact, I believe that just a couple of weeks earlier, I had some Thug Passion. Alizé, for those of you that have no idea what I'm talking about, it's now discontinued, even though I did try to find it just the other day, but it's discontinued. I'm teasing. So I was on the stage and I was singing that song, and then a change, an encounter with God changed my heart. Notice what it says in verse 3. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, a place of just activity. And suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? The body of Christ. Why are you trying to bother and mess with what I set up in the first place? And he said, who are you, Lord? So that means that sometimes, even when God reveals himself to us, we still don't know that it's him. Not at first. So that's when the conversation between the individual and the Lord begins to take place. It's just like a heart-to-heart resuscitation. You're dead and you don't know it, and now you've been brought to life, or you're a baby inside of your mother's womb, and then you now outside of the womb, and you don't recognize who's been singing to you for all these 9 months. Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks or the goads. The goads represent the thing that that certain types of oxen are carried or guided by. That's one translation. Another translation means that it's hard for you to kick against the superior power of the universe. You can't fight against me. I made you. I am the great intelligent designer. I'm the architect of the universe. I'm the author and finisher of your faith. I am the Alpha and I am the Omega, and I am not some other God. I'm not Buddha, Muhammad, Sun, Moon, Yang, Yang, Twang, in this thing. I'm none of that stuff. I am going to completely let you know that my name is Jesus. I'm not going to bring any confusion. I'm not going to say I'm one of the ways to God. I am going to say I am the way. I am the way. So here's some insight for you in the moments that we have left. When someone gets saved from the inside out, initially it's confusing, like a little baby that gets their breath for the very first time. The mothers and fathers in here, if you remember the time when your baby first came out of the womb and the doctor held them up, may have slapped them on the bottom, may have gotten a syringe to suck some of the meconium from out of their mouth or some of the afterbirth out of their mouth, and all of a sudden you heard, bleh! Now, why do you think the baby hollered like that? Because he came from out, or she came from out of one world that they were accustomed to, and now they're in a different world. And the only way that the baby would even calm down is oftentimes they have to have kindness and a gentle touch, letting us know that when a sinner comes from out of darkness into light, you have to embrace them gently, bring them close, not whispering into the little baby's ear, you remember where you came from? That conversation doesn't happen in real life, does it? You remember where you came from? You gave me a whole bunch of pain. That may all be true, but in reality, just like Jabez, as soon as that pain subsides, as soon as you see that baby right there, all of the anguish, all the pain, for that moment goes away. You're just happy that they're alive. You're happy that they made it. A child knows their parent's voice in the womb. Oftentimes when a mother or a father begins to speak or sing to the child, I did that with both of my sons. I sung to them, I talked to them over and over again. I whispered that you were going to be great and that you're going to be kings, and I did it over and over again. And the crazy thing about it is that this is before they even realize it. And those things that I've spoken over them have not even manifested yet. I was just trying to get them familiar with my voice. So just like a child, repeating, knows their parents' voice in the womb, it still, as the young people say, hits different when that same child meets who has been speaking to them face to face. Lord have mercy. I always knew that God wanted me to do something. From the age of 14, I knew that I was different. I always kind of heard his voice in the cool of the day as I would bike around the streets of Jacksonville, Florida, in between projects, where I would see crackheads walking down the street stealing fits, and on one side, on the other side, I would see the dope boys with gold in their mouth. I would still feel like there's something else out there. I would oftentimes look up to the sky and say to myself, is there more to life than just this? So I heard God's voice, just like a little child hears and knows of some type of voices. They can't quite get it. But when they see mama, see daddy face to face, oh, that's the one who's been talking to me the whole time. Look at that. It hits different. And that's when the relationship takes a different tone altogether. Verse 6 says, so he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? You're real. You're real to me.
Some people doubt him, but I can't live without him. You had one of those type of moments. Now what? Now what? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the same city where there's a whole bunch of activity. You were once going to be tearing some stuff up. You had the intention to tear the club up, but now things are different. You're not going to shoot anyone the bird and cuss them out for following Jesus. Now you're going to do my will. You're going to go into the cesspool. You're going to go into the dirtiest of places and help someone. You see, when someone becomes born again, here's the clue. They must be taught right and discipled. Many of the young people here are listening to gospel hip hop, maybe for the first time. Maybe those of you that are watching online, I can't tell you enough that regardless of what you think about Kanye West and his music or his endorsement of President Trump and all that other stuff, the truth of the matter is that God, for whatever reason, chose him as a vehicle. It ain't none of our comments, none of our postings can stop what God is doing. And so now we have this entire brand new audience that's listening to Jesus is King. Somebody that's newly saved that does not know all of the rules and regulations. Kind of like how we once didn't know all the rules and regulations. We just knew that Jesus changed our life and now we want to tell everybody and their mama about him. And so now you got a whole new generation of people that are listening to him. And I could promise you, even Jay-Z himself, the one that he said he's Hova, now he's listening to what Kanye got to say on his own platform. Look at God. Look at God. But one of our concerns was, as people who are seasoned saints that have been walking along with God, that he's just not out there. And thankfully enough, individuals like him, even like myself, when I did get saved, I at least had my mom, and at least I had certain individuals that are around me that taught me right and discipled me. And in this particular case, he was discipled by a seasoned professional. There's nothing worse than a newly saved person that goes to a corrupt church. You talk about heartbreak. You talk about church hurt. You talk about somebody that is new. They didn't even ask for any of it. They just know that they're saved and they love the Lord. But then some wolf begins to poison their soul. And that very person turns into the same type of person that you were hurt by that makes you not even want to come to church. Because they were taught wrong. And they were not discipled by a seasoned professional of the faith. When I ordained L. Winsley, I said that as an elder, I pointed to the text and I said, "You must not be a novice. You cannot be a new convert. You can't be new to this, because when you're teaching others, you have to have something to teach. You can't go to the first grade and then try to teach a 12th grade course." You're going to mess some stuff up, even though you have good intentions. You'll go from having quite a bit of content about the first grade, but then you'll start making up stuff all along just to get them out of the classroom because it makes you uncomfortable. You're not out of your comfort zone. And many of us came up in churches with pastors that just had a call on their life but didn't do anything else. It happens. But thank God for Ananias and people like him. Look at verse 7 says, "And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one." I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. Verse 8 says, "Then Saul arose from the ground. He got knocked off of his high horse. And when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him to new activity, Damascus. And he was there 3 days without being able to see naturally. He didn't eat anything and he didn't drink anything because he had a powerful encounter with the one that he denied for so long." It's like an atheist that all of a sudden has been denying God, and that God was like, okay. hold my cosmic drink for a moment. Watch this. Watch how I could take this individual that was out there killing people, robbing people, stealing away from individuals, stealing their faith, perverting the ideal of my name. Watch this. Watch how I can totally change their life. I promise you, if you would have met the 26-year-old me, I can assure you, you would not have thought that I would be preaching today. So like Bone Thugs and Harmony, meet me at the crossroads. These crossroads that I'm speaking of is when Jesus knocked off this gentleman, put him on the ground, humbled him, but only him. The other people who were around him saw that there was something happening in his life, but they couldn't quite relate to it. Let me explain this. This lets us know that our salvation can have the greatest impact on those closest to us. For some, like those men, it will be a time of separation. I can't be around you anymore. The Henny and Coke, I'm not going to change just for you. But for others, they will encourage you to stay on that path, even if they don't go with you themselves. I ain't ready to be saved just yet, but I ain't going to stop you from going to church. That's what these men did. They didn't hear the same type of thing that Paul did. They didn't have the same type of account. They heard the voice. Most people hear God's voice, but whether they follow him or not, that's another matter altogether. Acts chapter 9, verse 17 through 26 says, "And Ananias went his way," you've heard the backstory, "and entered the house, and laying hands on Paul, he said, 'Brother Saul,'" he didn't say, "Murderer Saul." He didn't say stoning Saul. He didn't say cussing Saul. He didn't say Pharisaic Saul. He said, "Brother Saul." He gave him the benefit of the doubt, because if Jesus saved you, then who am I to say that you're not? That's between you and God. Let God judge him. But now my job as Ananias, my job is to teach you and to reach you and to show you the things of God. "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Look at God. There's nothing better than you being an Ananias, to where you hear somebody has been touched by an angel, the angel of the Lord being Jesus Christ himself, and now you go to that person to teach them exactly what has happened the right way. Notice what the verse says. That same person who you talked to, being Jesus, who appeared to you, who you had an encounter with on the road that you were once on, has sent me that you may receive proper training so that you can see properly. So that you can know what you're looking at. So that you don't become somebody who will hurt a new baby in the future. Verse 18 says, "Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales." Let me rephrase that. "Immediately there fell from his eyes something like his old world view." That's what fell from his eyes. His old way of thinking, his old way of doing things, an old worldview, how I used to do things, how I used to talk, how I used to walk, how I used to focus on things that are not of God, how I used to act out of character, how I used to only want to analyze God from an intellectual standpoint. How I used to deny him by my actions. How I used to just look skeptically at church folk and all this other type of things like that. Now things have changed. So Ananias is in this house with Saul, and they begin to converse back and forth with each other. And the funny thing about it is that as the scales fell from his eyes, he just didn't get put out there immediately. There was a time of healing. Some writers believe it was actually a 14-year period that Saul actually went through in regards to teaching before he was released.
it was quite some time because, as you know, most people want to test and see if your calling is sure. That's what the scholars believe. In our contemporary time, here's the truth of the matter. It takes time to leave one world and embrace the other. When I got saved, I was still listening to Chronic, 2001. I was still listening to Eazy-E at that time, going through the streets of Orlando, top down, still contemplating whether I wanted to be a faithful husband or not. I still struggled with specific things. I still smoked Black and Miles. I still drunk. I still cussed a little bit. It's not around my wife. I hid some things. I did some things. I still wanted to be in the Masonic Lodge. I still had the pull back from the new world and wanted to go into the old world. It was still there. Yet, on the inside of me, I consistently had a voice saying, don't go there. That wasn't there before. See, before you met Jesus, when you did wrong thing, you didn't have anything else to tell you, don't do that. Most of the time, you had friends that told you to go head on now. Go further with your foolishness. Even internally, we had something on the inside of us that did not restrain us. And the irony of it all is that I grew up and around the church. For years, I would go with my mother. For years, I would hear, God be with you, God be with you, God be with you until we meet again. The reason why I remember that is because they always sung that when we were getting ready to leave. That's why I remember it. Until we meet again. I was like, yes, I'm going to my auntie's house. Right after church. I was there, but I was detached from what was going on there. I thought I was qualified to speak on the things of the church. I thought I was an expert because I grew up there, not knowing that I did not have a relationship with him the entire time. That's crazy, isn't it? I would figure that God would give me some type of extra credit for being in the building for a couple of years, but I found out that that's not the case. And other people believe that too, which is the reason why some people will be like, man, there ain't nothing but hypocrites in the church, because I figure that if I go there, then they would have at least something to show for. That Jesus would touch them in some kind of way. And a lot of them were that way, but you know how it is. The ones that do you right, you don't remember. But the ones that do you wrong, man, you remember that for the rest of your life. And that is the reason why you ain't come to church. Not the one who treated you right. Not the one who gave you a hug and a peppermint that cut your tongue in three places. We remember the worst. But let me give you some insight on this. Because we could be the church folk that run someone else away. Let me help you so that you don't turn into that type of person. Just follow Jesus Christ. And if you do something that hurts someone, apologize to them. Follow the scripture. Because you know that you're not perfect. Say something. And then if you are the other person who's new to the faith and you get hurt by someone else that's inside of the church, don't just run away. Because hopefully you have been taught that, guess what? These people are not perfect. We're all in the same hospital, last I checked. We're all in the same hospital. It's just that we got different sections of the hospital. We got intensive care unit. Don't talk to them because they just got here. They still bleeding. They still got stuff oozing out of them. They just came from out of the world. You got those that are on their way out. They're stronger. You could talk with them a little bit. But then you got the doctors and the physicians. Those are the ones that are separate from everyone else. They might not necessarily have a title either. You just have to observe how they heal others. Watch how they treat people. If they go out to dinner with you and say, hey, brother, come on out to dinner with me. Let's go ahead and just sit down and chit-chat. Don't look at how they treat you. Look at how they treat those that are serving them. If they get dogged out and act like they're so high class, you may need to talk to someone else. You always want to look and see how people treat the least of these. And that's exactly what Ananias did. Paul, for all of his accoutrements and amenities and knowledge and skills and abilities, he was a blind man. And his sight was being restored over time. Furthermore, this is a lesson for those of us who have walked with the Lord for some time, that when we see a new birth in the kingdom, that we should too also be compassionate and gentle with them, helping them to see clearly. They're saved, but they're not ready to go forward just yet. It's a very vulnerable time. Ananias, people of God, was Paul's mentor during this period of conversion. It's like a pastor coming to meet and talk with Kanye West, who now is being enrolled into seminary. Bet you didn't know that. He knows without a doubt that in order for him to come up with more content, he's going to have to learn more about him. He knows this. In a sense, many of us, like Ananias, must become spiritual pediatricians. It has nothing to do with age. I could have someone who is much older than me, chronologically, according to this world's timetable, 50 or 60 or 70 years old, and if they come to Jesus for the first time, it's still a newborn baby. So we're all spiritual pediatricians. What Ananias did is that he didn't start with the most complex things of God. He was there to feed him milk, just feed him the basics. That Jesus came, lived, died, was buried, and rose again on the third day. He now sits at the right hand of the Father and makes intercession for us. That the gospel is who Jesus is. Who is he? He is God. And what he came to do. What did he come to do? To save those that are lost. Lost in regards to what? Lost in sin. That's it. That's the basics. To give him the basics. In case, I don't know if I'm saved. Did you know that if you want to know if you're saved or not, that all you have to do is just believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. That's it. That's all. That's it. And anyone who tells you any different is being religious. There is a such thing as good religion. Good religion is the gospel. Letting God be God and we follow him and we try to emulate Jesus Christ. That's it. That's our measuring stick. That is our perfect standard. Those are the basics. Brother Michael, as a minister in the future, you're going to have to be well versed in the basics. So that when somebody who is not saved comes and approaches you or to Elder Winsley or to Deacon Lewis, then at least at a minimum you should be able to tell them about Jesus. Then give a personal testimony about how he has touched your life. There has to be some type of before and after picture. No matter how dark it is, you must share it with them and how powerful God has changed your life. For every test, there is a testimony. So Ananias didn't bring up his past. He knew full well about him. But he showed him compassion. He fed him. He protected him. He never brought up his past. He spoke peace. He met his felt need when he was hungry. He took care of him. He fellowshiped with him. He picked him up and took him to church. He didn't ask him for gas money after the second time. Oh, you're just trying to use me. But weren't you just singing a week ago, God will provide? See, that's why I don't want to go to church right now. Because this first church folk thing, this is a ubiquitous thing where we can't really identify, but a lot of times it's us. But the truth is also that not everybody can be a Paul. Not everybody has such a powerful testimony over their life with such rare gifts. So rare that they could write 3/4 of the New Testament or write for Charisma Magazine or be a bishop of the Lord's Church or be a pastor. That doesn't mean that. Sometimes we could just be a regular person that's sitting on the back row but sees a new convert and says, hey, you want to have a quick little study after service? Let me show you some things. And without getting all of the titles and all of the fanfare, that person has now become stronger in their faith. Verse 19, as I come around to him, so when he had received food, this is Paul here, he was strengthened, the right spiritual food, the basics, the foundation of the faith, who Jesus is, who God is, what happened to you. Let me tell you what happened to you when you got saved, how you came from out of one world and now are in another world. Let me tell you about this process. Let me introduce you to God, the one who sent me to you. Let me just tell you the basics. You see, people of God, there is nothing like spending time with a newly saved person. I love it. But you can't turn the hose on full blast. It was a task that you've been telling them about the things of God for a long time, and it seems like it's just going on deaf ears. But when they do come, hug them until they pop. Smile, show kindness, show grace, because it's a monumental step. There's nothing like being with a newly saved person. And oftentimes what it does is that it reignites the fire in some of us old heads and also refocuses many of us who become weary of working without seeing many conversions or the pain of enduring stillborns in the spirit. We thought that they were going to make it, but then they fell off. We thought that it was legitimate, but we found out that they weren't saved in the first place. Those things really hurt me as a pastor. For people to come to the altar and to say that I've been transformed, same, redeemed, fire-burning baptized, they're okay for a couple of months, and then after a while, they backslide their ways out the door, and they're in worse condition than they were when they first came. But as I conclude, come on. You know what's surprising about all this stuff that's going on with Kanye West? Just like it was surprising to many folk that knew me. I still got homeboys from the past. They say, what's up, B? Right in my email. It's offensive to me, but I have to understand that they're still in the dark. And I have to use compassion, even though I want to rip off on them like I did back in the old days. You can't do that because I'm a different person. I remember the past. But I know my future. So take a look at the following verses. Verse 20. And immediately, after Paul went through this period of healing and restoration by someone who was seasoned in the things of God, he preached immediately, once he was released, the Christ in synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed, who called on his name, said that he was Jesus with a Y, and has come here for the purpose just to fool folk so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests just to sell us out in the future? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in the Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. I heard it being said online that this particular album has reached more people within 2 days than some people who have been at it for 30 years. 27 million people have heard the album. 27 million people have heard the album from one of the chiefest of sinners. Regardless of his past, the message is pure. I listened to it myself, and it's more biblically sound than some people I've heard that have been around for decades. And I pray that as he is on his way to Damascus, that other brothers and sisters of the faith will embrace him and will speak to him so that he can continue going forward. Who knows? Maybe Jay-Z and Beyonce might come to Sunday service. Maybe those that we thought that would never even come to the Lord will start hearing things of God. Maybe choirs will come back in style. Wouldn't that be awesome? I would love for that to happen. We got to bring souls into the kingdom and have everybody up in this thing up and high until we're going to raise the roof like something else. Let's do it. Let's see it happen. Let's go ahead and pull the folk off the street, the worst of us. I love soul winning. Verse 22 says, and I close, but Saul increased all the more in strength. In other words, he didn't even address the haters at the time. Funny thing enough, it's the people who are in the church that be like, he ain't saved enough. He ain't paid his dues. I'm just so amazed at how God just does things. And I remember that because that's what they said about me. But Saul increased, verse 22 repeating, all the more in strength, and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, confounded all the Christians who've been serving, confounded all the Christian hip-hop artists who stopped saying Jesus because they wanted to reach a wider audience. And now they're feeling some kind of way because now he's getting more credit for saying his name loud and proud. The irony. Proving that Jesus is the Christ. So the truth of the matter is that, yes, there will be some who can't believe that you're saved now. Sheila, please, what? Bob, what? They going to church now, man. They ain't going to last. We're going to be praying polka a couple of nights from now. We're going to be dropping it like it's hot a couple of days from now. Watch, you watch, you watch. They faking. They lying. Until the days and months go by. Until the years go by. So yes, there will be some people that will try to call you out. I had some homeboys that sent me a photo of me shooting a bird at somebody when I was 19 years old in the photo. I was like, man, that would be an awesome album cover. And you may have experienced the same thing too. Nevertheless, keep moving forward in the name of Jesus. It is him and not them you will serve. Another warning to us in the kingdom, let us not be the barrier to those who enter the kingdom. We have no say-so over when somebody gets saved. We should just call them brother or sister, embrace them, and then teach them as they come closer and closer to God. And finally, now after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples, the real ones, took him by night and let him down through the wall in a large basket. That's kind of ironic there, because was it Moses sent off in a basket? And he was a baby? And this man is a grown man, but he's a baby in the faith? One of them was a deliverer of the people of Israel, then the new one was going to be a deliverer for the Gentiles. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. Watch this, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was saved. This is a warning to many of us who see situations like the one with Kanye West or Justin Bieber or anybody else who is a new convert that happens to be on public display. I've seen these people as well. I noticed that there is a difference between Snoop Dogg and Kanye West. When you get saved, you don't want to go back. If anything, we need to pray, because those on the Damascus Road will not be easy to travel. And many times, watch this, the same road of terror that Kanye paved, like many of us, will be the one that we will travel in order to save others. So the same thing that he used in order to pull a lot of people away, now he's being turned around and he's going to go down that same path in music. Pray for him, because there's a tremendous amount of demonic activity With me, I went down the road of being in the occult and then being in pro-black type of ideology and thinking. And I was in different types of things before I got saved. And it just so happens that God has me go down that same road to talk to others who have thorns and thistles in their minds about things of the faith. Come on, stand to your feet. We're done. And one of the beautiful things, you could go ahead and turn that off now, Jamar. One of the beautiful things that happened with Saul after he was initially rejected by the disciples is that he had a brother named Barnabas who came to his aid after he left Ananias' house to talk with him, to help him through the rough days and the rough times of being a new convert, preaching the gospel, knowing that he had a lot of baggage. A lot of people knew that Moses killed somebody. A lot of people knew that David sent Uriah to his death and took his wife. They all knew it for years and years. They also knew about Paul and his past. They've known it for years. Just like people know your past. They know your past. They know my past. You can't hide it. Some of us were backbiters, whoremongers, drunkards, drug addicts, porn addicts, anger problems, prejudice, had filthy mouths, extremely prideful, but God, through his grace and mercy, still saved you. You who are once in darkness and is now in the marvelous light. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, we honor you, and we bless you. We thank you, Lord God, for reaching down into the gutter and finding us when we were wallowing in sin. We thank you, Lord God, for surrounding us with people, seasoned professionals that could guide us according to our faith. Not under the spirit of guilt, shame, or condemnation, but out of grace and love and maturation. Bless us now, Lord God, as we reach out to those who are new to the faith. Bless us now, Lord God, as we continue in our own journeys. Let us not turn our backs on people who are following the footpath of God. Let us reach out to them. The worst of us, the least of these, and share the love of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Let's go for a ride in our new convertible. Things like these touch my heart, and I pray that it touches yours. When we had those young men being baptized on that faithful day during our summer day, I knew that they were going to be starting on a journey and that everything wasn't going to be solidified in one day. Just keep on walking. It'll all make sense as the years and months go by. Be patient with people. Pray for them. Don't throw shade. Hold them accountable. But give more grace to those that are new, that have gotten the courage to try church one more time. In Jesus' name. Be blessed, people of God. Go ahead and hug somebody. Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, God loves you. And so do I. Be blessed, people of God.